Okay, we have a special guest today, Mr. Silverman. It brings back memories of the years when I was in the Rosenzweig Shear, and on days like this, Itamar Maria would come for Shear, and Rosenzweig would call on them. But I wouldn't call on you unless you raise your hand. We discussed last time the position of some Achronim, a position that Rishafi was partial to, that a Derech HaHolech Miyor Yir, an intercity highway, is not only a Rishus HaRabim in and of itself, but is a Rishus HaRabim even if it's lacking Shishim Rebo, even if in general you require Shishim Rebo for Rishus HaRabim. Because a highway is the prototypical Rishus HaRabim, it doesn't require all the details, all the qualifications of a regular Rishus HaRabim. Rav Schechter also thinks that the same is true for a railroad. If you have railroad tracks that go through a city and transport people from one place to another, so that would be the equivalent of a highway, something that's made for transporting people, and therefore would be a Rishus HaRabim, even lacking Shishim Rebo that use the railroad. Yeah?
Isn't most modern-day railroads, or even classic railroads, aren't they more private than they are public?
What do you mean?
Meaning that not anyone could just take their train and pull on a railroad track. The railroad track is owned by someone, because you have usually fences around the railroad track. It's personal property. You know?
Is it personal property? So in America, we have Amtrak. Amtrak is a government body or some quasi-government body. And then you have railroad companies like New Jersey Transit and MTA. So those are city companies. They're not really private. So you're right. If you had a private railroad, so if you weren't able to access it without specific permission from the owner, that might be different, but most of our rail lines are public in the sense that if you buy a ticket, you can travel. No different than getting in a car and going on a toll highway where you can't go unless you pay the toll, but anyone who wants to is entitled to use that facility. So Rav Schechter thinks for that reason that you can't include a railroad track in a city Erev. The Aruch HaShulchan writes something similar, but the Aruch HaShulchan writes in Sif Kafav that a railroad track is considered Rishus HaRabim because you definitely have Shishim Rebo. So we'll discuss, we haven't gotten into the details of Shishim Rebo yet, how you calculate Shishim Rebo, but the Aruch HaShulchan assumes that a railroad is a Rishus HaRabim because it has Shishim Rebo. He doesn't write that it's a Rishus HaRabim without Shishim Rebo, but he assumes that any standard railroad is going to meet the criterion of Shishim Rebo. But this is really a machlokas achronim, whether we would assume that a railroad has a din of Rishus HaRabim definitionally. The Chubas Yeshuas Malko, Rishul Kutner, that we quoted last time, in Simon Kavav, assumes that a railroad track is not a Rishus HaRabim. Why? Because whoever is traveling on a railroad is traveling on a train, is traveling in a car that has walls and has a roof, and that's a Rishus HaYachid. How can you call a railroad track a Rishus HaRabim if the people that travel on that track are all traveling in a Rishus HaYachid? That's a Rishus HaYachid Gemura. You can't call that a Rishus HaRabim. So says the Bishul
Kutner. Yeah? How about the platform the trains enter and
so if whoever is traveling on that road is traveling in a Rishus HaYachid, you can't call that a Rishus HaRabim.
It seems the platform, they have to get on and off the train. Find the train car itself is a Rishus HaYachid, but
yeah,
not the platform.
The platform? So you want to say the platform is like a platyo? Okay, but that's not a Derech HaHolech Miyor Yir. That's just a platform. So talking about whether this is considered a Derech HaHolech Miyor Yir. So the Yeshuas Malko assumes not. Even though we should look under his machmir that a Derech HaHolech Miyor Yir does a din of Rishus HaRabim even without Shishim Rebo, but he thinks a railroad track is not going to have a din of Rishus HaRabim because it is comprised of railroad cars that are definitionally a Rishus HaYachid. Abi. Good. So the same as far as should apply to our highways. So this issue by railroads is essentially the same issue as by cars. But we'll talk about cars in a second. If you look in the Chivas Marsham, the Marsham seems to say different things in different places about the railroad shaila. Railroads were popular before cars were. So Marsham writes in one Chuva is Chela Gimel Simen Kuf Peches. Chela Gimel Simen Kuf Peches. So there he has a line that a railroad track is not considered Rishus HaRabim because it's not 16 amos wide and it's not mefulish, it doesn't go straight from one end to another. That sounds like the reason it's not Rishus HaRabim is because it's not 16 amos wide. But if it would be 16 amos wide, as contemporary railroad tracks usually are, so then it would be Rishus HaRabim. So he's not precluding the possibility that a railroad track could have a din of a derech halach mi'alir. He's just saying practically it doesn't reach the 16 amah threshold. And in a different shuva, chelak aleph simon kuf samach beis, there it sounds like he's more in line of Rabbi Shula Kuttner that a railroad, by definition, cannot be a rishus harabim because of the railroad cars. So if you look in the Rav Vosner's shuva, chelak hei simon nun gimel, shevet alevi chelak hei simon nun gimel, he picks up on what seems to be a difference in two different shuvas of the Maharsham. But as Avi correctly pointed out, this machlokas is essentially the machlokas that we have about cars. When it comes to cars, there are two flavors of this issue. Number one, would you consider a car to be rishus ha-yachid, and therefore, if you have a road that's miyuchad for cars, and everyone who travels is traveling in a car, so you can't call that rishus ha-rabim because everyone's in their own private rishus ha-yachid. And then the second question is, when you calculate shishim ribo, do you calculate people who are in cars also? So they're related, not necessarily the same question. But the post can point out, one second, that there seem to be, so the more contemporary issue is about cars, and in earlier generations the issue is about wagons. If you have a wagon that's essentially a rishus ha-yachid, and people are traveling in that wagon, so can you call that, if you have a derech that's miyuchad for wagons, can you call that a rishus ha-rabim? So I want to point out that there's a diak in the Magen Avraham. If you look at the Magen Avraham, Sifkata and Yudalid, Magen Avraham writes as follows. He's talking about travel on a body of water. So he has a line that Rishus HaRabim Nami Lo Havi She'eno Noach Tashmish Halichotam Me'amayim. That you can't call a river or a waterway a Rishus HaRabim because it's not something that people can comfortably travel on because of the water. So some of the later Svarim point out that he's not saying it's not a Rishus HaRabim because people only travel on boats, and a boat's a Rishus HaYachid. He's saying that it's not something that is Noach Tashmish Alichasa. But the fact that someone is traveling on a boat in and of itself isn't a Raya that is not considered a Rishus HaRabim. Yeah.
Isn't the Avodah Midbar proof for that? Meaning, these Agalot were Rishus HaYachid.
Right.
Mm-hmm. But you're still saying that this is the source of Rishus HaRabim. And these wagons are traveling on that area. So shouldn't this be a proof that, like, Rishus, even if it's Rishus HaYachid, it really wouldn't matter for it?
So was it Rishus HaRabim only when they were stationary? Was it Rishus HaRabim when they were traveling? Was it Rishus HaRabim because there were roads open to the area where they were stationary? Was maybe the whole Midbar Rishus HaYachid because it was surrounded by the Anani HaKavod, as some are going to talk about? So
okay.
These are all good questions, and maybe we'll have opportunity to flesh some of them out. But these things are discussed in this context. We can't deal with every single riot back and forth. But that is, those are all things to be dealt with. Okay, similarly, I just found this very nice sefer, Teferes Yaakov and Ervin, two volumes. The Mechaber of Yaakov Zundel Kreuzer. So he has another raya from a Prima Gadim. This is in Simon Lamed Zion of volume 2 of the Sefer, Teferes Yaakov Simon Lamed Zion. So he has the raya from Prima Gadim in Simon Shin Samach Gimel Sifkatan Lamed. Simon Shin Samach Gimel Sifkatan Lamed. So the Prima Gadim writes over there that if you have a lake that is iced over in the winter, and people travel in wagons over the lake, that's not considered Rishus HaRabim. So without going into the details of the local issue there, he assumes that in principle, traveling in a wagon, under normal circumstances, should make something into Rishus HaRabim, or shouldn't be Megareya from the Rishus HaRabim status. On the other issue, Moshe assumes, and we'll see this when we get to the Shishamiba discussion, in the end of Simon, Arachayim Chelak Aleph Simon Kuf Lamates, that's a long tshuva about Erevin Manhattan, Chelak Aleph Simon Kuf Lamates, Anaf Vav, he assumes there is a Davar Pasha that when you calculate Shishamiba, you include people in cars. Again, that discussion we'll have as we go on. This is also a point of debate whether areas traversed by cars are definitionally Rishus HaRabim between the two major protagonists about the first city Erev built in America. It seems that the first Erev built in an American city was in St. Louis in the 1890s, and there are two halachic works written by the proponent and opponent of the original St. Louis Erev. The first work was called Tikva Zecharia, written by Rav Zecharia Rosenfeld. So he assumed that cars are not part of the Cheshbon of Rishus HaRabim, and his opponent, who wrote a kuntres called Shoel Ke'inyan, Rav Mordechai Yaffa, he assumed that cars are considered part of Rishus HaRabim. The Tikva Zecharia has a haskama from Rabbi Yaakov Yosef, the first chief rabbi of New York, RJJ, and the second sefer has a haskama from Shmuel Salant. So these are both kontrasim that were published in from Rabbanim in St. Louis in the 1890s. Second sefer was a kontras called Shoel Kenyan. Okay. If you're interested in the whole history of the first of this initial St. Louis Erev, so there are a few posts on a very fine blog called Erev Blogspot, ErevOnline.blogspot, written by someone who wishes to remain anonymous. ErevOnline.blogspot, a lot of interesting material there. And if you look at Rabbi Adam Mintz's doctoral thesis on Erev in America, and he has a whole chapter dedicated to the St. Louis Erev. Okay, of the 1890s. What about a railroad track that only services freight? Not a commuter railroad track, but a freight railroad track. So some railroad tracks service both. Some are just commuter and some are just freight. So would a freight railroad track constitute a derech haholach mi'ir le'ir in the view of Rav Shechter and Poskim who followed that position? So I asked Rav Shechter this question last week. He said he wasn't sure. He recalled that in Montreal, they had such an issue with the Erev there, but I spoke to Rabbi Wibben in Montreal, who told me that as far as he knows, the railroad track that goes through Montreal services both commuters and freight, so that's a different issue, and there they excluded the railroad from the Erev. Although I do think that in the Englewood Erev, it does include a freight railroad track. Didn't used to extend that far, but now it does. Apparently this freight railroad track is included in the Erev. I don't know if the Cheshbon was that they're not choshesh for this position that a railroad track is a derech haholach mi'ir le'ir, or they worked out that a freight railroad is not the same. Avi.
What happened if the railroad was redesignated by its owner from freight to commuter? Would that be mevatel on the Erev that included it?
Then now you'd have an issue. Mm-hmm. If you take that position. I think in the Passaic Erev, which was recently enhanced in the last couple of years, so now I'm told that the Erev excludes the commuter railroad tracks that go through it, that there are mechitzas on either side. But this was an issue in the Woodbury Erev. About 12 years ago, the Woodbury Erev was first built around 1981 by Rabbi Eider, Zichrono Levracha. And about 12 years ago, some of the newer Rabbanim in town wanted the Erev to have another look at because no one had really looked at it since the early 80s. So they asked Rav Shechter to come out to inspect the Erev in Woodmere. So my friend Rabbi David Mintz and I both accompanied Rav Shechter on, I think, about four trips to see the Woodmere Erev. and together with some of the local rabbanim, and Rav Schachter had a number of ha'aros about issues that he saw in the Erev. One of them was the fact that the LIRR tracks go through the Erev. So all the other ha'aros that he made over time, sometime in the last 12 years, they fixed all those problems. The one thing they didn't fix was the railroad issue. Now the reason is that even if you assume that a railroad is considered a derech ha'holach mi'ir, and even if you assume that a railroad is a derech ha'holach mi'ir, in order to have a problem there, you have to make another assumption with the Shefter makes, and that is that we said at the beginning that derech ha'holach mi'ir, according to this position, doesn't require shishim ribo. What about all the other requirements for Rishis HaRabim? Doesn't that need any deal of Rishis HaRabim or only Shishim Riba? I'm sorry?
Like having to sign.
So if you look in the Shaar HaTzion, so the Shaar HaTzion in Sivkat in Yud Ches writes, quoting this Magen Avraham, V'gam hu b'davka im heim rechavim tezayin amam. That derech ha'holach mi'ir li'ir, even if you don't require shishim ribo, you still require tesayin amah. So Rav Schachter assumes that that's true, that you still require tesayin amah, and you still require that it's einu makura. So we'll talk about that detail also, that a Rishis HaRabim can't have a roof over it. What about the requirement of mefulash? What about the requirement, that's our next topic, our next big topic, mefulash? So mefulash, machlokas we'll have to discuss, does it just mean that it has to be open on both ends? The road has to, you can't have a dead end in the middle? Or does it mean that it has to be straight from one end of the city to the other end of the city? So we'll see, Rav Schachter assumes, lahalacha, that it means it has to be straight from one end of the city to another end of the city. So if you have a, road that goes like this, so that according to many poskim is not going to be Rishis HaRabim. And let's say you have a road that goes like this, so Rav Schachter thinks that that's also not Rishis HaRabim because it doesn't go straight. Okay, the details we'll have to discuss shortly. What about a derech ha'holach mi'ir li'ir? So they have the same requirements by derech ha'holach mi'ir li'ir. So Rav Schachter thinks that mefulash is in the same category as shishim ribo. That just like a derech ha'holach mi'ir li'ir, you don't need shishim ribo, so too a derech ha'holach mi'ir li'ir doesn't require mefulash. So if you have a railroad track that, let's say this is your Erev, and then you have a railroad track that goes in like this, goes out like that, so that's not mechuvin, that's not straight, there's nowhere near straight, that's at a 90 degree angle. So if you require mefulash slash mechuvin, then that can't be Rishis HaRabim. But if a derech ha'holach mi'ir li'ir doesn't have a requirement of mefulash slash mechuvin, so it still could be considered a derech ha'holach mi'ir li'ir and Rishis HaRabim. So Rav Schachter thinks that even though the railroad track that goes to the Woodmere Erev essentially goes like that, almost, or more like that, that's still a problem of a Rishis HaRabim al derech ha'holech mi'ir li'ir. Now, why would you distinguish between tezayin amah and mekura on the one hand, and shishim ribo and mefulash on the other hand? So, Rav Avner says something in the tshuva that we referenced before, Chelek Hesim Nun Gimel, which may shed a little bit of light on this. So, even though it's true, and the difficulty is that both the requirement of mefulash according to many Rishonim and the requirement of tezayinam according to the Gemara and the requirement of Eina Makura according to the Gemara are all based on Dumya de Divrei Midbar. You know, the model of the Machanos and the Midbar are the basis of all these requirements of mefulash, tezayinam, and Eina Makura. So it's the same model, the same basis. So why would you distinguish between Mefulash on the one hand and Tezayin Am and Eina Makura on the other hand? So at the end of the day, you still have to deal with why that should be so. But in terms of Svaras, if you're going to explain that some of these are more Mistaber than others and some are more Quag Zeres HaKasuv, so the distinction would be that Tezayin Am You can't call something a Rishus Rabim if it's not Tetzayinama, because anyway you slice it, it's not Noach Tashmisho. It's not something that's usable for the masses. So even if you have an intercity highway, but it's only 4 feet wide, so then even if it goes from one end of the world to the other, it's not really so usable because it's too narrow. If you have something that's Makura, if you have a road that has a roof over it, so that looks like a Rishus Yakut. How can you call that a Rishus Rabim? That looks like a house. As opposed to the requirements of Shishim, Vivo, and Mefulash, we'll have to flesh out where the requirement of Mefulash comes from anyway in Svara. But as far as defining something as a Derech HaHolch Mi'Erlier, as a Shishim Rabim, as a prototypical road for the masses, so if something is an intercity highway, it facilitates travel from one city to another, so that is the prototypical Shishim Rabim, whether or not it has Shishim Vivo. And that's the prototypical Shishim Rabim because of the population that it services, whether it goes straight or whether it curves or moves at a 90-degree angle. One second. Now, does anyone say like this in print? Does anyone say in print, before Rav Shechter, that there's no requirement of Mefulash / Mechuvan for a Derech HaHolech Mi'Er L'Ir? So both this Sefer Teveris Yaakov and the Sefer Yetzias HaShabbos think they have a diuk to prove that from the Ohel Moed, who was one of the Rishonim. If you want to look for it, it's printed in the Kovetz Shitas Kamai on Shabbos Daf Vav. But I'll just read the excerpt that he quotes here in Sefer Yetzias HaShabbos on page Lamed Ches. So this is from Ohel Moed Hilchos Shabbos Derech Yud Gimel Nesiv Beis. Ohel Moed Hilchos Shabbos Derech Yud Gimel Nesiv Beis. So Ohel Moed writes, Veiz of Rishus HaRabim Sratya Vehi Mesila Shaholchem Yer Lier Uplatya Gedola Vizohi Rechava Shemiskapsim Sham Lischora Kishvakim Shemimedinos. Skipping a few lines, a few words. V'chein mevuos chalir ha-mefulashim erochavim tesayinama. The third category, mevuos chalir, that are mefulashim. U'pischayen mechuvanim zu kenegezu, dinan kirshis harabim. And their entrances are open and are straight, opposite the other, one opposite the other, so that is a din of kirshis harabim. So it sounds like the requirement of pischayen mechuvanim zu kenegezu, that they have to be... the openings have to be opposite each other, is only modifying the third type of Rishus HaRabim, the Vos Shalir, not modifying Sratya, and not modifying Platya. So according to that, a Derech HaHolech Mi'Er L'Ir would be a Rishus HaRabim, even if you don't have Pischeya Mechuvanim Zu Keneged Zu. That's what the Sefer Teveris Yaakov thinks as well, and he thinks he has a mashmos for that in Chachman Tzvi, which we're going to quote in a different context shortly. And basically that it's really the Gemara. If you want to read the Gemara to be that specific, Lashon Gemara Daf Vav and Shabbos again, Tanu Rabbanan, Either Rishus HaRabim, Sratya, Platya, Gedola, Mevoas HaMefulashim. If you read Mevoas HaMefulashim to tell you the din that we call Mefulash, so it's Mevoas HaMefulashim, but Sratya doesn't have to be Mefulash, and Platya doesn't have to be Mefulash. So that is what these Achronim think, that there's no requirement of Mefulash / Mechuvan for a Derech HaHolech Me'ir Le'ir. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Does
have Shishim Ribo. Mm-hmm. Does that mean your Rav HaShulchan also assumes there would be, have to be Mefulash? Are we linking those Shishim Ribo and Mefulash together in that either you have it or you don't require it? Well, I think anyone who would require Shishim Ribo would also require Mefulash. The question is, you could not require Shishim Ribo and still require Mefulash, which is probably the Pashtus. We're just pointing out that... some suggest that just as you don't require Shishim Ribo, you also don't require Mefulash. Okay? Okay. But there's a further discussion of this if you want to take a look, and then you see it's a Shabbos in Siman Beis. Yeah, Avi. According to most poskim, again, the Aruch HaShulchan there is just telling you that a railroad anyway has Shishim Rebo. He's not telling you whether you hold that a railroad is Derech HaLech Yoliir. He's not addressing that point specifically. Elsewhere, he was partial to the notion of Derech HaLech Yoliir. But according to most poskim, there is what to rely on, which is why the Eruv relies on it. And hasn't cut off the railroad, which would be a very complicated and expensive endeavor, if even possible. So that is the position of most poskim, that even if you are going to be machmir on a derech halachim yerliir, which is not so pasha that you don't require shishimiba, but you wouldn't be machmir that that you don't need mefulish either. Yeah, Alex. The Aruch HaShulchan again just said that you definitely have Shishim Riba. So freight train, you don't have Shishim Riba. Right. Okay. So let's move on now to discuss the requirement of Tes Zayin Amah. So one of the details of Rishis HaRabim is it has to be Tes Zayin Amah wide. Somewhere between 24 and 32 feet in the spectrum between Chaim Noah's Shir and the Chazon Ish's Shir. And the Gemara learns that out on Daf Sadi Tassim and Aleph and Shabbos from the Agalos in the Midbar, that each Agala was 5 amos wide. So you had, they would travel 2 at a time. So you have 2 Agalos of 5 amos width each, and then you'd have 5 amos in the middle, and then half an am on either side for Ben Levi to stand in case something fell down. So between the 5 amos, the 5 amos, the 5 amos in the middle, and a half an amma on either side, that's how the Gemara calculates that you get a shear of sheish esrei amma for a rishus harabim. The Rekiv Eger on the side of the Shulchan Aruch here in Simon Shemem Hei is mitzayin a tshuvas shvisas yantiv. The tshuvas shvisas yantiv, I'm not aware of a better printing. Not so legible, which is why I didn't give it to you in the Marmar Kamos. But it's Orach Chaim Siman Hei. I got this off of Hebrew Books, if you want to take a look. In the paragraph that begins, Naktina. Okay, Shvisas Yantav, Orach Chaim Siman Hei. This too was written, the Sefer was written in the 1700s. So he discusses here something that sounds like a sidewalk. The term that he uses is a katol rerum. I think, or a kal rerum. So he's discussing whether this sidewalk, you can take a look at the truth, if you think he's saying something else, let me know. But it sounds like he's talking about something like a sidewalk. The question is whether that is mitzaref to the shear of Tes Zayin Amah. If you have, no one's driving in cars in the 1700s, but you have a road that is either for wagon or pedestrian traffic, and then you have a slightly elevated area on the side of the road, which people also walk on, so is that mitzuraf to the Tes Zayin Amah? So he assumes that it is, and even if the sidewalk on the side is more than 3 tvachim taller than the road itself, it's not considered a separate area, and it is mitzuraf to the road for a shear of Tes Zayin Amah. So if the road itself is less than Tes Zayin Amah, but mitzuraf, the sidewalk on the side, you have Tes Zayin Amah, then that could constitute a rishus harabim. Even if it's above 3 tvachim, so then it's outside of the shir lavid, and you can view that as a separate level, but lemaisa, it services the same people that use the road, and people can either walk in the road or travel in the road on their wagon and walk on the side, so it's all considered one single unit. And it's equally miyucha for drisa sarabim. or you could have the wagons in the middle of the road and the people walking inside the road. Either way, it services the rabbim just the same. So he assumes that that sidewalk would be considered part of the calculation of Tes Zayin Amo. That, I think, is how we generally assume that if you have a city road, or any road, and the sidewalk would be considered part of that calculation of Tes Zayin Amo. And if a road would be defined as Rishus HaRabim, so the sidewalk would be defined as Rishus HaRabim as well. Which is why it's a little bit difficult to understand in the old Wayu Erev, which was only on the other side of Amsterdam Avenue, which didn't include Amsterdam Avenue out of deference to Rabban Soloveitchik's position that Amsterdam Avenue was Rishus HaRabim Daraisa, but it did include part of the sidewalk. So if you hold that Amsterdam Avenue is Rishus HaRabim Daraisa, then presumably the sidewalk should be part of the same Rishus HaRabim, so how could you make an Erev that encloses the sidewalk as well? Same kasha on the other side of the Heights, where I think at least one of the buildings on Overlook Terrace, even though they hold that Manhattan is Rishus HaRabim Daraisa, but there's an Erev, definitely for Sukkot and maybe other times, that encompasses the area right in front of an apartment building that encroaches onto the sidewalks. That's also a kasha. Why that could work. Yeah?
In terms of the Erev posture in Amsterdam Avenue, doesn't that barricade count as enough as a... Like, isn't that at least the tefachim that it separates the Rishus HaRabim from the technical Rishus HaYachid?
You would need 10 tefachim, but I don't think there were barricades 15 years ago. If there's a barrier, maybe, but those benches didn't used to be there either.
I'm talking about the ones, there were no benches even right in front of Mordecai by that
right.
One.
Right. Okay. Now, the other thing that we're going to wait to discuss till a later point is the din of Rishus HaRabim HaMiskatzer. So you probably saw in Sivchas Sivtesir in Shechan Aruch, there's a machlokas we shown him, this important tosis on Davav Amaveiz and Erevin. What is the status of a road that is 16 amos wide, and then at a certain point it narrows to either more than 13 and a third or more than 10? So at least 3 days, and we've shown him how you calculate whether that is considered to be Rishus HaRabim, even in the area where it narrows. So that relates to the discussion of. That relates to the discussion of Asu Rabim Mevatel Mechitzta, the Sugya on Daf Kaf Beis. So we'll wait to discuss that till we get to the Sugya of Asu Rabim, as that all goes together. Okay. In the Nishmas Adam, in the bottom of the Chai Adam, in Simen Memtes, he quotes a position of the Rashba in Avodas Abayis that a Rishus HaRabim requires a shear of Tes Zayin Amma by Tes Zayin Amma. Yeah?
So I was reading out from the Oral Hashulchan yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
Does that word generally mean when you just hear Tes Zayin Amma in like all other sources, is it trying to tell us something new?
That's something that's telling us something new. Meaning that's what they point out. Where did that come from? That's it, right? The Nishma Southern writes, what's the source? How do we know that? So the Chiddush is in a platya, in a sratya, or in a regular road. So a regular road, presumably, is going to be more than 16 amos long anyway. It's going to be 16 amos wide. If it's not 16 amos long, how could that be Rishus HaRabim anyway? So the Chiddush, presumably, is in a platya, a town square. So maybe, theoretically, you could have had a town square that... that services a population that's less than 16 by 16, or that is, let's say, 16 amos wide, 16 amos wide, and probably not so practical, or theoretically, or maybe in a sratya, or maybe in a road, you could have Rishus HaRabim that's mitzkaser, that starts at 16, but never continues at 16 for more than 16 amos, and then narrows and widens and narrows and widens. In most situations, it's kind of academic, probably. But he does quote this position of the Rashba that you require tesayin by tesayin. The Tur, according to one Girsa, has this as well, that you require tesayin by tesayin. And the Nishmas Adam writes, he doesn't know where that comes from. That's one chiddush in the Rashba. And the other chiddush in the Rashba that he references is that the heter of delosos nulos balayla, that a rishis rabin could be nitar through delosos nulos balayla if you have doors that are locked at night on either or one side of the rishis rabin. So the Rashba writes here in the Avodas HaKodesh that only works for a road. But when it comes to a plateau, when it comes to the town square, the area that people gather to do business, so there, even if you're going to lock the city gates at night, that is not matir the platya. Yeah?
Yeah, I do understand the Gemara that says they need shrine, but wasn't it the fact that they locked the doors?
Right.
They locked the carriage home. There's no markets in the entire shrine.
So that didn't apply to the market. That was matir tiltal in the city, but not necessarily matir tiltal in the platya.
So you're saying like the platya would have to basically have a sign being like, don't cross here.
Right, or we'll see in a minute, maybe it could have its own telosus nulos. So that's the comment of the Rashba that the Nishmas Adam quotes, that a platya isn't nitar even ayyidei telosus nulos, meaning if you lock the gates around the city, it's still not matir tilto in the platya. If you look in the Tshuvas Chacham Tzvi, Simen Lamed Zayin at the end, so he quotes this Rashba in the Avodas HaKodesh, and he thinks that that's a big chiddush. Matsasi la Rashi the Sefer Avodas HaKodesh Chiddush Gadol Lo Nimso B'Shem Posik Zulasa Lo Kanmo and Lo Akwa. No one said it before him and no one said it after him. Shakasa de Platya Afilu Dulasa Samedina and Alas Balayli. Even if you lock all the gates in the city, still Torah Sushis Arabim Aleha. Kanira Daito de Dafka B'Mavoa Samifulash and Shemi Yuchadis La'anche Hamavo Yahu. If you have roads that are meant for the use of the people that live around them and aren't used by the entire public, the entire population, so then the Lusus Nulus works. But by Platya, Shiakol Adam Shavabo, where everyone can use the town square, so there Ni'ilas Lusus isn't going to help. But he still thinks, the Chacham Tzvi, that no one ever said such a thing, and he wonders, even the Beis Yosef, because everything doesn't quote this position. So there is at least one other Rishon who does say like the Rashba, and that's the Me'iri, which I think I put on the Mar Mekamos. The Me'iri in Shabbos, Daf Vav Amud Aleph, Dibur Maskil Ezer Rishis Aradim, so he writes that a platya is not nitar ayidei the delosus around the city. So if you lock the doors around the city, it's not matya the platya, but it is nitar through delosos around the platya. So it sounds like he's saying that if you're going to lock the gates around the city, the platya, the town square in the middle, is still going to be usable by the entire population of the city. So let's say you need shishimibo, so you have shishimibo in the city, they're all going to still converge in the platya. So the fact that you lock the walls doesn't in any way inhibit the status of the platya. But if you're going to lock the platya, if you're going to make delosos nulos around the platya itself, so that's going to prevent usage of the platya from the other people in the city, and that's enough to be maturit. So that's how Rabbi Bloy explains in the Nesivos HaShabbos, in his footnote in Paragimel, I think it's Ha'ar Dalet. But to be that as it may, even though the Rashba is not quoted halacha, but you do see the Rashba seems to be another raya to the notion that within the Gemara's categories of Sratya, Platya, and Mevoas HaMefulashim, they don't all have the same dinim. So just like we saw, we started with the discussion, maybe Sratya doesn't have the same din of Shishimibo, seriously, according to the Rashba, at least, that Platya doesn't have the same din of Delosos Ne'ulos. One more interesting marmachim about Platya. If you look in Sefer Shmir Shabbos, Perek Yudzayin Ha'ar Yudzayin. Shmir Shabbos Golchasa Perek Yudzayin Ha'ar Yudzayin. So Norbert quotes from Shlomo Zalman that Shlomo Zalman thought that the plaza in front of the Kotel doesn't have the status of a Platya. The Platya means an area that people converge in for commercial activity. And people aren't converging in front of the Kotel for commercial activity, hopefully. They're converging to the Daven. So if a place that's miyucha l'tfila can't have a din of a platya, even if it's used by the numbers of people that otherwise would render it a rishis harabim. That's just a mar malkum to note. Okay. So let's just begin briefly talking about Mefulash, and then we'll pick up with this in earnest next time in Ritz Hashem. The requirement of Mefulash for Rishus HaRabim as such is not found explicitly in the Gemara. We do have the Gemara that we just referenced in Shabbos and Davav that talks about Mevoah HaMefulashim Rishus HaRabim, but the requirement of a Rishus HaRabim itself being Mefulash is not as explicit there. Rashi writes, in Ervin, Davav HaMen Aleph Diber Maskel Rishus HaRabim, Erevin Vav Amud Aleph Diber Masko Rishis Arabim. Mashma Rachav Tezayin Amma. What are the criterion for Rishis Arabim? It has to be Tezayin Amma wide. The ear Shemitsuyin Ba Shishim Ribo. You have to have Shishim Ribo. The Ein Ba Choma. No wall. And now I'm reading without the parentheses. Shahaya Rishis Arabim Shala Mechuvan Mishar Lishar. Now, the Rishus HaRabim is mechuvan, is straight, mishar l'shar. Shehei mefulash, dome l'digle mibra. That it should be open on either side, dome l'digle mibra. So Rashi sounds like mefulash means mechuvan. Mechuvan, mishar l'shar, shehei mefulash, dome l'digle mibra. The mechuvan means straight. So the word mefulash itself could have meant the mefulash could have meant that it's not sasim. We have a mavi sasim as opposed to mavi mefulash. A mavi sasim is a dead end, and a mavi mefulash is a street or an alleyway that isn't closed off on either side. So mefulash could have meant, and we'll see, could mean according to some, that it's not blocked, that it allows access from one side to the other side. Mechuvan means more than that. Mechuvan means it goes straight. Now, go straight could mean it doesn't have a 90 degree turn, or go straight could mean it goes mamish straight as opposed to curving anywhere. So that we'll have to flesh out as we go on. But Rashi minimally is saying that mefulash means mechuvan, it means straight. And that's what the Ritva writes as well. Shabbos Avav Amud Aleph Diber Maskel Ve'ezer Rishus HaRabim Mechuvan Mishar Lishar. Straight from one gate to the other. And that's what the Ramban writes in Ervin Daf Nun Tes. Mefulash V'shnei Roshin U'mechuvan Ad Chutz LaMedina. That it opens on either side and it goes straight till the end of the Medina. Okay, so when you see the Rishonim here, you should be sensitive to where they fall in these possibilities of Mefulash, either meaning Natsasim, meaning Mechuvan, or meaning, as Rav Schechter likes to say, and we'll see where this comes from Rishonim, Mechuvan Mishar Lishar Belishim Ikum Kwal, that it goes mamish straight from one end to the other without any curvature. So we'll pick up with this next time, Yirtzeh Hashem. I'll try to send out further marmakamos on this topic. And then after Mefulash, we will talk about Eina Makura, and then we'll talk about ownership of property, a privately owned property as opposed to a publicly owned property, and then we'll go on to Shishim Riba. So I will send out or update the list of marmakamos to include more things to look at.